I don't believe I made it to the June meeting, did I?
No.
There was one you had to miss. It was the last one, I think.
Well, hi, how are you?
Good.
Question. Where's the dog from Benita, the pit that got out and bit the lady and the other dog? Anybody know where it is? Apparently it's not in Benita. From the article I read.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's the easiest thing to say because it's a long story.
And you have two competing people for idiots of the month, what do you do?
You can't declare a draw?
Well, that was what we were going to do. No harm done, nothing to harm. That's terrible. There are times when... when you kick them out of your office once, I don't know whether you want to deal with them, even if they are a biker.
Good.
Huh?
Oh, a biker?
Well, I mean, it's not the dog. It was,
you're right.
It was the people. I think that was a setup kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Probably. Huh?
Really?
Yeah.
I think so.
Two situations where, you know, the people that got bit weren't like, brightest light bulb in the whole county, and we're antagonistic a little bit. And so when you get an antagonist against an antagonist, you're going to have problems. You're going to have
problems. The email address.
No, I haven't said that.
Other than not.
Here I can't. Here I'm on the dog's right to live.
More,
you know,
than I already am.
And I don't ever excuse a dog attacking any other dog.
But there might be more to the story.
There might be more to the story. Is all I'm saying. Yeah, that's right. And I thought civil court was going to take care of it. Does that make sense? That's where they were going with it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I just read something in the paper.
Something like that, you know.
I just read something in the paper where it was
postponed.
Do you
have the backstory?
Oh, okay.
I don't have the backstory.
Last
story.
I knew.
Well, I read the article, but it was a while ago.
And then it did go to court, but the dog could not be inside Benita city limits.
Right.
So it did go through court.
It went to court. Okay. He was fined, what, $400 and some odd?
Yeah.
$435.
The real problem is, do you solve the problem by moving him across the street?
No.
And that's the real problem.
I know where he lives, yeah.
Well, that's my whole point. Yeah. I don't want him as a neighbor.
Right.
We see it all the time, you know. It's Green Hill's problem anyway. It's not ours, you know. So. Well, you know what I mean? It's Lake County animal control problem or whatever. Yeah. They like to say, well, somebody else's problem.
Oh, right. It's just, yeah.
Huh?
What?
I don't know. No, but you know what I'm saying? If they have someone to blame,
oh, sure,
they can find you to blame you. They would just assume, let you be the scapegoat, you know.
Hello.
Yes.
You've been there.
Yes.
You've been on the receiving end of that one.
Yes, I have. Multiple times. So.
Yes.
This week.
Oh, is that right? I'll pick your week, right? No, it's just...
Yeah.
So we're probably good to go.
Where I get upset
have
is
you heard
child
anybody
involved.
Else
that child involved, and I just I have no patience with anything. I mean, you
so
you incarcerate this dog, you do whatever you have to the family, and you take care of it.
Do you have to report that?
Huh?
If there's an injury to
we
a
have
child.
To report anybody, for any reason,
right.
You know.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's provoked or not. It has to be reported.
Yeah.
Now, there are times when it's already at the health department. Does that make sense? Because we can't deal with anything human-related, so we instantly refer it to the health department and then assume they do the reporting.
Oh, okay.
But probably that's
yeah.
not right.
I wasn't sure if there was something that elevates it if children are involved.
Oh, no. But not necessarily, no. It's just human nature does.
Call meeting to order.
Yeah, perfect. So we'll start with public comment, and looks like
I didn't know it was.
Oh,
I was just signing in.
Oh, okay, you didn't.
I thought we had to sign in.
Yeah, that's fine. So you didn't have any public comment.
Yeah,
okay.
So, no.
Okay, great. We can move on then. So the first item on the agenda was changes or additions. So I would know I wasn't here last month, and so I just sort of worked off of what we usually have on the agenda, and then David had some items that he wanted to add, and I estimated time for that, but you know, if we have more time, we can certainly talk about those.
Well, David didn't have time that second time in May, even, and then, so.
We didn't talk about what I want to talk about in May.
Right.
We're also supposed to receive a copy of the bill in May, which we did not do, which I would like, Mike. We need to know what that was.
I thought it was handed out.
I saw in the material, in the agenda materials, I think it was from May.
Well, I brought a copy of it, but.
No, I thought we supplied a copy of the law and our proposed language.
I know, I saw your proposed language.
There was a synopsis at one of the meetings.
Sorry about that, I thought we had provided.
No, I think it may have been in there, like in with all the other materials, so you may have overlooked.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can make copies of it.
Should I run it out?
Make sure David gets it, yeah. I thought we supplied it, so.
Okay, so, anything else to add to the agenda for today?
I have nothing.
Okay. So normally we have the review approval of the minutes as the next item on the agenda. I had a question about that, whether we need to be doing that anymore, since now, Mike, you're posting those online, right?
The recording is online, and we talked about the summary.
Yeah.
Being, reviewing that and saying yea or nay to that, if there, because it does summarize the discussion, so if we characterize something wrong, we do want you guys to point that out, and then we can.
Okay.
Fix that. So the idea is that we do the summaries, give you a chance to look at it and say, yeah, that looks good. I don't know if we necessarily.
Oh, okay, you didn't email that out, but that's been included here,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, right off the bat, I was not at the meeting in June.
Okay, thank you.
Neither was I, so.
So from this point on, we will be providing you the summary, hopefully before your meeting. Try to get it out to you a week before when Tamara gets the agenda done. And you'll have a chance to review it and approve it. So that'll still be on the agenda, and it'll be a recurring thing, and we'll continue to do that. The only difference is that the recording goes up soon after your meeting.
Okay, all right, good.
I like the format, it's great, thank you.
Okay, good.
Someone want to make a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so I guess it's to you, Carrie and Jacqueline.
Okay. So you did get the last month's stats in your packet, but I'm going to hand out an analysis that compares year to year, which I think is probably more interesting. Sir?
Right at the beginning.
Yes.
If you're done.
Are there more copies?
I think I made eight total.
Do you have do you have more there?
She needs a copy.
I think we're all set.
You're going to need a copy.
Sorry about that. Okay, so there are two sets of columns here. One shows July of 2013 through June of 2014. The next one shows July of 2014 through July of 2015, so 2 years. And kind of the significant points to point out. Overall, there was 12% increase in both dogs and cats year to year. The outcomes were, for the most part, similar in terms of percentage. So the outcome is somewhat similar overall, but there are a few I'd like to point out. We did increase, there it is, the missing sheet. We increased the return to owner rate for cats by 1%. So went from 6% to 7%. The adoption rate is roughly the same as it was before, but transfers to Green Hill increased significantly. It was almost double the number of dogs in particular, not cats, but dogs to Green Hill went from 89 dogs to 172. Mm. I'm going to drop down to the bottom, which shows the live release from Green Hill. And so the thing to note about those transfers is that 99% of them ended in a live release, at least to Green Hill. The next thing that's kind of a significant difference, cats, we worked with other rescues to transfer more cats this past year than last year. So we transferred 20 cats to other shelters versus the 7, many of these special needs cats. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll talk a little about euthanasia on dogs because that's the other thing that's somewhat different. The number actually increased slightly, but where and the reasons is significant. So 14, there were 14 owner requested or court ordered euthanasias this past year for dogs versus 1 the year before. Hmm. The other thing that's interesting to note is that the number of euthanasias that were for behavior that were Green Hill shelter decided euthanasias for behavior went down. But there was a slight increase in health-related euthanasia.
Do you have any idea why owner requests euthanasias are up?
Some of what we're seeing there is so the things that we code in that category are if there's a potentially dangerous dog that is subject to being classified under either Lane County system or Eugene system, and the owner says, I'm not going to do this. And
to resolve the case.
Right, resolve the case, they say, I'm not willing to comply, I will sign the dog over and have it put to sleep. And we've been doing that service in those situations when an owner has made that choice. We've definitely seen more of that this year, or situations where, I mean, sometimes there are situations where the owner's not given the choice, and through either Lane County's process or City of Eugene's process, there's been a court-ordered euthanasia. And we've had a few of those for Springfield this year as well.
So this number of 14 includes those cases?
Yes, that is.
Do you have any idea how many there are of the out of the 14, how many cases those are?
Where the court has ordered the euthanasia? I could get that detail. I don't have it in front of me, though.
Ballpark? Half? Less? More?
I'm going to guess in the half range of that number, but...
Do you have any idea where those dogs came for before the owners got them?
No. No, we don't usually get that information. They're usually impounded for whatever incident occurred, but because it's not a typical owner surrender process like we would go through at our Green Hill location where we ask all those questions, when they're impounded at First Avenue, we generally don't get that info.
Okay. For the most part, we know they weren't adopted from Green Hill.
Yeah. If they were adopted from either of our shelters, we're usually going to know that, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's important just for the record to know that this isn't a change in policy for First Avenue. So we, Lane County Animal Services, before we took over, did owner-requested euthanasia at the request of owners, just bringing animals to them. Mm-hmm. We have not changed that. These owner-requested are the result of an impound, essentially.
Right.
And so it's most likely had... those owners not requested it, there would have been a court process that had proceeded or proceeded afterwards.
Yeah. As Mike said, it's usually done or offered to resolve the court process. But yeah, I think that's an important clarification. These are not just owners coming in off the street and seeking that as a veterinary service. I need to have my animal put to sleep. These are all animals that have been impounded.
That was my question.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of interesting. I was at Green Hill just about an hour ago. I borrowed two traps.
Okay.
But there's a man that came in that was asking about if he would put down a elderly cat because the neighbors were complaining about it. And I don't know what the outcome was, but people seem to have they're kind of struggling to find out what to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
But does that happen much?
We definitely get calls at both shelters about situations like that pretty frequently. In most cases, we're going to refer the person to pursue that with a veterinarian and not utilize our shelters for that.
Yeah.
How do you determine when somebody comes in like that it's actually their animal and not their neighbor's?
That's one of the reasons that we don't generally do that.
Right.
Yeah.
See, right. They're dumping on us. No,
we usually look for vet records, you know, some level of proof that they've been caring for the animal.
Yeah. A neighborhood vendetta.
Yeah. It's always a problem.
Yeah.
Missing, so they ought to go to Green Hill.
Yeah. We'll just pass it back to you. Yeah. Now we know. You should probably call Dwayne.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I see something else here that's different. The donations received.
Yeah, so that's, there's variance. So I can tell you, just being in the donation industry for a while, there is definitely variance year to year. Those are donations that either came straight to the shelter or were earmarked specifically for the shelter, but came to the Green Hill shelter. I'm not too concerned about the $3,000 variance.
All right.
On that, but.
Okay.
Okay, well, if there's nothing else, Mike, do you want to take the floor?
For Lane County's report, see in your packet there, I'm on this report, standard monthly report. Lots of activity in June. Although not out of hand, not like April, but still pretty busy. The most violations, citations, have been issued. Many of those are related to our new policy regarding licensing and failing to renew. So we're starting to issue a lot more of those. And we had our first case, and Judge Cable sided with us. And
where is that?
Person had to pay. So it's part of, I just am looking at the citation violations column.
Over here?
No, wrong report, David.
Other stages.
Yeah. Right there.
I lost too.
Right.
Our citation violations. 58, that's what you're looking at?
Yep.
But almost, well, double.
So, typically hovers around 30, but we're up to almost 60, and it's due to those license renewal. People, we remind them again, give them a call. At the point we call them and contact them and they still refuse, we issue a citation.
I've
been on the road a lot. I saw something on TV and I don't remember, I don't think it was about, might have been about citations, but it was on the news talking about, it might have been that, I'm not sure, but we suggested in the May meeting that Dave get some PSAs about citations being increased and people being cited when they're not licensing to encourage them to license.
Right.
Is there any
chance? We haven't done that yet. I think what you're referring to, maybe the next thing we'll talk about, is the voucher program.
It might have been the vouchers,
yeah.
But that's one thing Calgary did. They let people know that people were being cited.
Yeah.
You know, $280 or whatever it is not very cost effective when a license is, what, 30?
Right.
You know, so
right.
License your dogs.
Right.
So is there any intent to do that?
The PSAs, yes, my understanding. I think we were working on the voucher program first as a priority, and then we'll start doing that.
What I did hear was excellent.
Okay.
I think it was the vouchers.
Yeah.
They had.
So you'll see in the next set of rows there the spay-neuter voucher column. Mm-hmm. We had 10 or 8 for the month of June, and that's detailed in the last page of your packet there. That's the 8 related to the temporary policy change that we decided. You guys gave direction for Dave to forego the income requirement,
right.
And just give them, as people requested them. We did, I think we had a newspaper article, we had the radio. I don't think we got any television PSAs. I don't know, I'll have to ask Dave. But anyway, we got the word out, and still only 8 were...
from one clinic, mostly.
Yeah, from...
So it's really...
Special rave when he's put in cottage room. You know, that happens to be help from the lady that sits against the wall.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Great.
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Good job.
She works really hard to get that stuff done.
So what we kind of looked at this and said, okay, why is that? The main reason, we believe, is that the two low-cost spay-neuter clinics, WAGS and City of Eugene, refused to participate. So without them in the program, they do a lot of the low-cost spay-neuter in the community. The numbers weren't there. So the spay-neuter voucher program is very good. Its intent is very good. People just aren't using it. One of the things we also think...
We haven't given enough time.
No.
This is just...
Yeah, it was quick. It was quick.
Yeah, that's no way to make it.
Is it already done?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just for the month, till the end of the fiscal year.
It was too short notice, but we can do that this coming year.
Yeah, and prepare more.
So you had to give back how much? Into the general fund?
I don't know how much we've used the entire fiscal year.
Or did you
year.
Find other ways to spend it for it?
I can give you a report on that next sure. month. I don't know.
But there was about 5,000 or 6,000.
Yeah.
Did the vets available. Take you up? I mean, were they using it or what? They were putting it out.
So the last page of your packet is your report. There were 8 vouchers redeemed under the program. That's it there.
That's terrible.
Right there.
Yeah.
It takes people longer than just 4 weeks to make a decision.
Right. No, I get it. It was quick. But I think, like Scott said, we can prepare for this next fiscal year and do it, you know, the last 2 months of the fiscal year or something like that.
Why not all 12 months and just let it be known? I still don't quite grasp why, what was it, the City of Eugene and WAGS, why somehow you've instituted this arbitrary rule that unless they sell licenses or whatever at their place, is that what it is?
No.
Unless they report on the rabies.
Come into compliance with their rabies
right.
reporting.
But cats aren't needing that. And can't
no.
Don't these things apply to cats?
Sure.
So why wouldn't you at least divide the two things? And if for cats,
we were willing to give them whatever they wanted, but WAGS didn't want to participate.
Oh, so you told WAGS that insofar as dogs are concerned, unless and until you give us the rabies
compliance,
we can't cooperate. But as far as cats are concerned, you told them both.
I don't know if they were told that.
Well, that's a big if.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a real big if, because they could have used that. And so could that be perhaps remedied? This
sure.
Time? Okay, thanks.
Why should they be rewarded for not complying?
Well, they shouldn't be as far as dogs.
Well, but in, you know, if they're not going to comply with dogs, they shouldn't get any funds.
Why? Look, why punish cats, for God's sakes? Because
they're
of...
not punishing the cats. It's punishing the action of the organization.
Well, I don't disagree with you. On the other hand, that's kind of a punitive construct. If we're looking at the maximizing...
Well, they need to comply.
Look,
you know, there's too much of this. Well, it's that law is only for other people, but not
Scott.
For me.
Look,
Scott,
I agree, but
back at you. Why punish dog owners for cat owners not having have licenses?
We're not cat owners. Don't have to have licenses. It's
why
not
do you punish dog owners?
Well, you know,
to
that's
cover
another
the
issue.
Cats not
Look,
having
we're
licenses.
Talking about availing both dogs and cats of having low-income spay and neuter vouchers. All right. Now, if they're so dumb or pig-headed that they don't want to hand over the canine vaccination things that are only obligatory for canines, it still doesn't mean that there wouldn't be a public benefit in maximizing the cats that are being sterilized. And so you can say, well, if you're not going to play ball here, well, the hell with you. You can say that. But what about those cats that otherwise would get sterilized? It doesn't make any sense. Well, it's not right.
To us, okay? Where the money is generated from dogs, it should be spent on dogs. Simple as that. End of story. No, these vouchers shouldn't even apply to cats.
Well, they do apply to them. And since they do, then therefore, if they are available to both dogs and cats, and look, we've been, how many cats and dogs in your days?
Every time we turn around, on the one hand, you condemn the veterinarians for not doing this, turning over these vouchers or turning over the rabies certificates, and yet your own spay and neuter clinic, your perfect little baby, has never turned over the rabies certificates.
What do you mean my baby? I have no...
spay and neuter clinic has been your baby.
What are you talking about? I have no connection with them at all.
Baloney.
Hey, it's not baloney, and I take offense at that.
You can take all of
it. All right, well, don't say things that aren't
true.
But
it is true.
No, you just said something wasn't true, and I don't appreciate it.
It is your every time you talk about anything, it's always the spay neuter clinic this, spay neuter clinic that. If that's not something that's your little baby, I don't know what is.
Well, then you don't know what is. But the fact is that anyone who spays and neuters, whether they're vets or whether they're nonprofits, are performing a public function.
Just that you tend to side with those two facilities all the time, and that's your only concern. And it gets a little...
It's not my only concern, and I certainly support... Well, you can perceive anything you want in your own mind, but the fact is that I support veterinarians doing pro bono work or spay and neuter animals or using vouchers. You don't need to mischaracterize people.
All you have to do is sit at one of these meetings for a little while. No one has to, Scott. They understand perfectly where you're coming from.
Let's move on.
You can speak for yourself. Mr. Chair, under Robert's Rules of Order, ad hominem personal attacks are not permissible, okay? That was an ad hominem personal attack, and I don't appreciate it. I just want that for the record.
Okay.
Really?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Did you have really any more for the report?
No. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, David, it's to you.
We are on Senate Bill 6.
You want to do Senate Bill 6 first?
Yeah.
So would you like me to copy the bill for you?
Did she hand it to you already?
I can make copies of it.
All right, thank you.
Do you have this as well, David, the summary of our...
I had one. I don't know if that's the most recent. I don't like to copy that, too.
Everybody have this from last meeting? Two meetings ago. This is the Senate bill itself, and then our summary of what our proposed land code
proposal.
Okay,
I'm sorry, I didn't.
I'd like to make a copy.
I'll
very
like to vote.
For 425, you have Senate Bill 6 and importation. I can talk about importation. There's thousands of dogs coming in. The speculation is some of these dogs are purposely bred for what's becoming known as the importation retail pet trade. The dogs I've seen at PetSmart, most of them are two breeds, Min Pins and Chihuahuas. And there can't be just Min Pins and Chihuahuas off the street of L.A.
What's a Min Pin?
Miniature
Pinscher. They look similar to a Chihuahua. They're a little bigger and a little feistier. Nice little dogs. Anyway, I can't prove it, obviously, but I'm pretty certain there's probably dogs being bred for it. We don't know where they're bred. We don't know whether they're bred in the United States or coming from somewhere else. We know from the canine influenza that ended up in Chicago, was traced back to meat dogs in Korea that were rescued through a humane society in the Bay. And I would assume some ended up in Chicago, but that's where it started and then spread to 11 states and killed some dogs. That's probably just the tip of the iceberg. I know there's people in the state concerned about it, but I don't know that anything's going to happen or if they know what to do. But we need to have some kind of a handle on this importation trade.
Are there any recipients of these imported dogs that are selling or adopting dogs out here in Lane County?
If you go to PetSmart, you'll see 30, 40 a week.
He's only one facility. Who's taking them to PetSmart?
Pardon?
Who's bringing them to PetSmart?
I don't have that stuff in front of me. There's several rescues that are behind doing that, bringing them in. Now, Florence has brought cats over and I think dogs over for a very long time. I don't know that they're doing it. But there are two other rescues, and I don't remember what they're called, that I've seen at PetSmart, bringing them in. And there are a number of places that you can go to on the weekend that are rescues. Go to the like pet stores or whatever to adopt them out.
Do they have to disclose where they come from?
Nope.
That might be a good ordinance or something.
Well, people are looking at it. I don't know where they are on it, but they are looking at it. And biggest issue is disease. That's what we're concerned with.
Are you?
And
well,
how
biggest
do we know?
Issue is that this is now a new puppy mill.
How do we know
situation?
Those dogs aren't coming from the puppy mills that everybody's tried to shut down?
There was an article that I just recently read. I'd be happy to try to track it down and put it back out. It was from one of the national humane organizations, but I can't remember which one, was that they quoted themselves as saying if there was money in shelters, there'd be a million shelters. And the gist of the article is, and there is now money in shelters, and we're seeing a lot of rescue organizations that are profit-making organizations that are...
For-profit rescue organizations, really?
They don't call themselves that. They're rescues. They're rescues. But they're making money by...
What percentage? The transport. There's profit in the transport, we would assume, like semi-trailers coming up with dogs. And, of course, that's not regulated.
Is that happening here, semi-trailers with dogs?
I don't know.
Well, Jan,
I saw one.
You did.
I picked up a dog from one that I was fostering and rescuing, and it was horrific. It was ugly. It was awful.
You saw a semi-trailer filled with dogs?
Yes. I waited there for them to come. They came several hours late. They had been on the road from Los Angeles area for days, and those dogs had been in cages stacked on top of each other, peeing and pooping on top of each other for days. This was a rescue group.
Did you get their name of that group?
They were bringing animals for a bunch of different groups. One of them was the Portland group that is such a good group.
Well, the
they
Oregon
were picking
Humane
them up.
Society is bringing dogs in.
Just take one. But where did they go? Where did they meet? Or where did people come?
They were at the Gateway. Whatever is that Target that has the big parking lot on Gateway? We met at the Gateway parking lot, and there were dozens of us with our cars there waiting to pick up the designated dogs that we were fostering and rescuing out of this kill shelter in Southern California.
So who organizes that transport then?
Some of the transports are separate from the rescues. People are transporting. They're bringing them in airplanes. People are just stepping forward to save dogs. And it was not that many years ago, we heard shelters say we would love to be out of business. Well, now that there's room at the inn, they're bringing them in instead. And they're not just bringing them in from southern U.S., from L.A. or Georgia or wherever. They're coming in from around the world. And that's a problem. We don't need to be saving the world. We don't need to be enabling others not to do what we've done here. We've been very successful in spay-neuter programs. That's why there's room at the inn, because of spay-neuters and breeders taking dogs back and being responsible for them for the lifetime of the dog. And instead, we're seeing unregulated dogs coming in. That's why I ask, the 14 euthanasias, where did they come from? Are they from that or not? Why is there a jump from like 1 or 2 to 14? Now, it might be just coincidence. But we don't know that it earned in some of those dogs.
Could I ask a question? A reference was made here earlier about dogs being rescued from kill shelters. I've never heard of a kill shelter.
Oh, that's a term in the rescue world.
Oh, okay.
There are no kill shelters or they're kill shelters. and organizations that are not. If you ever put an animal to sleep for any reason, ever, you are a kill shelter.
No, I don't know that I'd go that far, but.
Okay. Well, and whoever gets to call them kill or non-kill, depending on what their version of whether it was appropriate or not, then you'd be a kill shelter. That's probably it.
I agree with that.
It's something the other people say.
It sounds so incredibly ominous. Of course, that's the purpose. That's the purpose in doing that. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes the reference is high kill shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe we need to get some kind of a handle on it.
Pet shelter.
So I can put a little clarity to some of this. So transport has basically been moving to the West Coast. It's been on the East Coast for decades more than here, just partially a population thing. As David pointed out, there are a variety of people that are involved in transport and rescue and identification of the animals that are available for it. But there are many rescues, and we've seen people call themselves rescues that wouldn't be what we would consider traditional rescues. Some of those people are involved in it because they enjoy animals and they enjoy money that may be associated with the process of rescuing the animals. That has existed forever, right? Some people calling, some people being legitimate, some people not being legitimate. One of the new things that we're seeing is that there's money in transport. Hmm. So people transporting animals from one place to another. I actually don't know any specific names, but I have heard that there are groups that have been paying to bring animals up to here with the belief that they are saving the animals. It would be my belief that they may be subjecting themselves to someone who's being unscrupulous. Many of these the transports that we are involved, the shelter is releasing the animal, it's coming to us, we're going from shelter to shelter. There may be an intermediary in there, but there isn't an exchange of money. That isn't the case for all of the rescue that's going on in Oregon. Some people are actually paying to move animals out of California. There has been suggestion that maybe those animals aren't just being rescued from shelters, right, and potential death. They are, in fact, coming from somewhere else. There is some level of regulation within Oregon, although it's really minimal, and it's with the Oregon Department of Agriculture. There are rules about importing animals. Green Hill follows those rules. We should have information on the outset, and then we have a veterinary exam when they arrive here. We then submit, actually, in writing, the results of that exam goes with a certificate to the Oregon Department of Agriculture. Chances are not everyone in the community or within Oregon who is bringing up animals from California are doing that. But that's kind of the minimal amount of regulation. This is a good segue to Senate Bill 6 because the idea, similar to what's going on in the East Coast, where they've been doing this longer and things are a little more developed, there's a lot more regulation on the East Coast than there is on the West Coast.
With regard to what?
Importation.
Having certain vaccines and it's mostly come from the veterinary community actually on the East Coast where, and I don't know if it still falls under the Department of Agriculture in those states, but it seems like there is more regulation around what vaccines, whether or not they're spayed or neutered before they come into certain states. There's a quarantine. Some states require quarantine on the outside before it comes in mm-hmm. into the state. And I think those are things that eventually Oregon is going to see. Senate Bill 6 is one way of kind of addressing at least the end result. It isn't addressing the transport side,
right.
Although the hope I think is that everyone will be on board with something that says if you're in this industry, if you're caring for animals, if you're trying to save lives, you will be a part of a community trying to better itself and make sure that everyone's safe in the process.
The way I see Senate Bill 6, it was an attempt at making the rescues responsible for bringing the dogs in. In other words, the disposition of the dog before it got here, after it got here, and after it was adopted. That's the idea.
Yeah, I think, you know, Senate Bill 6 is more along the lines of care while it's in the rescue.
Right. Well, it was the Salem case. The Horton case in Salem was a rescue.
Right.
That apparently wasn't. And that's what precipitated it.
Yeah.
Which came from Sharon Harmon of the Oregon Humane Society.
Yeah.
What did?
Comment. I'm not generally a real fan of more regulation.
Me neither.
In this situation, I, personal experience, I can't speak to statistics or studies. Personal experience is that people who love and want to save animals are pretty naive. And people who work with rescues, and myself included, go see this van and go, oh my God, okay, well I got her out of there. I think regulations and some kind of accountability is real necessary, so that somebody can't just say, well, yes, it came from a kill shelter. They're going to have to, somebody's going to have to hold them accountable to show that that's really true. Because wanting to believe what somebody tells you because that's what you want to be doing, I think is pretty rampant.
Hear what you
want to
hear.
Well, it would be good to have like a what is that, Carfax?
Exactly. Exactly.
Where you know where there is knowledge of the dog's or cat's origins, somehow make that kind of a standard
the
disclosure.
The way around that that I've heard mostly is was a stray. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Picked up on the streets of Los Angeles, it was a stray. Nobody knows.
And when they're all one breed, I'm afraid that's not true.
When there's a litter of.
Yeah.
Well, when you see transportation businesses or whatever organizations doing that, and where there's a consistent pattern of anonymous dogs, then you can suspect them.
And that's the case right now.
You know. But they should be identified. Lane County could possibly pass an ordinance, couldn't it?
Sure, yeah. It's currently under Senate Bill 6. Like
yeah,
Larry said, it doesn't
if you read
deal with
it,
those
that's what it is. It's the disposition of the animals.
You know, the fact is that different cultures have different ideas mm-hmm. of animal worth.
Yeah. Okay?
True.
Yeah.
And everybody read in the paper this week that California is over 50% Hispanic. Okay. When I go to Mexico and I talk to Mexican veterinarians, they struggle to get a dog or cat spayed. And yet, I will tell you that the animal population down there now is much healthier and less numerous than I've ever seen it. So,
why do you think that? Are they spaying?
Because with affluence, I think you get more animal care to some degree. And what you have to understand, I think, in this country, and you hear Donald Trump about Mexicans, well, he's way off on that. You know what I mean? The people we see coming up here are from Costa Rica and from Guatemala, and Mexico won't have them. Mexico treats Central American people like they're scum of the earth, okay? So we see people from Peru and from Panama and Honduras, and you name it. Very few Mexicans. Mexicans live pretty good. I mean, I've been down there. I've been going down there every year for 40 years, and I have family friends down there that are as good as gold, and they have a lot more money than I ever dreamt of having. They don't want to come up here. They came up here. They didn't like it. They went back, almost all of them, because they have more family down there, and they have a better time down there. They have bigger parties, and they enjoy life more down there. And they don't have the same appreciation for animals. They don't have the same consideration. There's very little sympathy about animal suffering. I mean, the way they handle their horses and things down there, or some, you know, we wouldn't find that acceptable here, you know. But the truth is, different cultures have different ideas of what normal is. And if you take California alone, and they're over 50% Hispanic or that bloodline, you're going to have less appreciation for suffering and reproductive abilities of animals than you are with more European breeding. You know, I don't mean to be mean, but that's just a reality that's going to happen. And
if it hasn't been identified yet, it will be.
What's that?
If it hasn't been identified yet,
if it hasn't
yet,
been, it will. And you know, it's going to be, you know, we've seen, I think, just the tip of the iceberg with imported dogs. I think it's going to continue.
Right.
And so it no longer is Lane County Animal Control. it is U.S. Animal Control, kind of, and we're just a little part of it in trying to figure out how do we deal with it, you know? Is it really Lane County Animal Control? Or is it how do we prevent all the overpopulation of dogs in California coming up here and create chaos for our animal control people, you know? Our animal control people in this county have done a marvelous job. I think they have. I think they've done a fantastic job. And you and I might argue and fight, and I'm not serious about a lot of these things I say. However, we will always be that way
because
it's our nature to become bad.
I love you, man. Don't worry.
But the reality is that we are dealing with that right now. It's a different cultural process that we're dealing with, and you're not going to get over it in the next couple years. I know it's going to continue.
Well, they already have transport requirements for large animals, and they just need to implement them for small animals, and then enforcement. And enforcement is a big issue because unless somebody reports an infraction, it won't be investigated and enforced and fined and all that kind of stuff. So if you see that happen again, contact one of us. We'll contact the state veterinarian. They'll implement an investigation.
Yeah, all up and down the line, state, county, city, it's very hard to be proactive on these things. We can be reactive and go through a long process, but
if you get a couple of them and find them pretty heavy, that's going to be where you're going to start seeing some results.
But there's no reason these vans can't be stopped at the first border stop and have someone go through them. They do for large animal. Yeah. If I have a load of cows going to California, man, they get on that truck and see that every animal's ear tagged, and they want to know where it's from, and they want to know everything about it.
They do for fruit.
For apples.
Right.
But we don't have it coming into Oregon. When you're going to California, you get stopped, but you don't get stopped when you come north.
But there's no reason you can't be. I mean, it's just we choose not to.
Right.
Well, what was the net contribution that this Senate Bill 6?
So the kind of section 10 on page 6 is kind of where the discussion around rescues begins.
And the numbers in the copy, that's where it's written into the Oregon statutes now, where it says 609.415 and 609.420. That's where I added. There's a lot in this bill that was put into different parts of the Oregon state statute.
Yeah.
So that's what that is.
Yeah. So that's the actual statute.
Yeah.
And then the separate page that has draft on it is our proposal for implementing that in Lane County. And you've seen this several times now. So, and it's been revised according to your discussions.
So where does that stand now, this draft?
It is currently so. I think I've explained this before, but our county council is going through all of Lane Manual and doing updates to sections along the way. They are now here, and we.
They are now where?
At this
600s.
Whatever chapter Animal Services is, I can't remember. Chapter 7. They're reviewing offenses now, so this is part of that, and as well as Chapter 7. So
they're reviewing it to make more money or to?
No, to update Lane Code and get rid of out of date stuff, and just generally doing a comprehensive review of the code. And so we've submitted these as part of our recommended revisions. This page. And along with the rest of the code changes you saw last year that you approved, we worked through them section by section with you, and you gave us your recommendations, and we forwarded all that whole package on, which includes this, to county council. And so we haven't heard back from them on that review yet. As soon as we do, we want to report back to you, but we haven't heard back from them yet. So any substantive changes like this to Lane Code requires a public hearing. And so once county council agrees with the recommended changes or we work through that process with them, there'll be a public hearing regarding this, and we'll want to make it clear that it includes changes to the animal code.
What's the RF and NCK? What does that mean?
Need to comply with
notes under rescue. It says R/F NCK. What does that mean? Rescue or foster non-commercial.
Non-commercial kennel. Yeah.
Yeah, the headline. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I have a question. In the draft, the top rescue or foster non-commercial kennel, I understand kennels or dogs. Why doesn't it reference animals instead of just dogs? It's all dogs here.
Because that's all our code deals with. We don't have.
Yeah.
Senate Bill 6 is dealing with animals. Cats?
No.
Senate Bill 6 is dealing with animals.
Yeah.
Not specific dogs.
I know. Yeah.
But what, lane code cannot expand itself to also include care of cats?
That's part of the discussion we're having with, because that was direct feedback from you.
Right.
And so that's part of the discussion we're having with county council. At this point, it hasn't changed.
Okay.
They deserve to be well cared for, too.
No doubt.
I would like to recommend to our county commissioners that it be changed to animals.
You've already done that, and we've passed that on.
Okay.
At this point, it hasn't changed.
Okay.
Could you give us monthly, changing the subject a second, digressing, could you give us monthly little just report on how much has accumulated in the spay-neuter voucher fund?
It's, okay, yeah, well, 5%
it's one
of revenue.
And the same, yeah. Okay.
5% of license revenue. And so you talked about having monthly reports on license revenue and that kind of thing.
If the city cooperated, it'd be a lot helpful.
You know, this has nothing to do with our current conversation, right, but sometime down the road, I think we should address something that is a real kind of a no-win situation. But I get more complaints than anything else about service dogs.
Oh.
And I know we don't want to touch that particular bag of worms, probably, but it is out of hand as far as what service dogs are entitled to and how people use them. Anything qualifies for a service dog. Once you got a service dog, you use it whip, and you whip your landlord, you whip your neighbors, you whip the stores, you whip, you know. I mean, it has just been a nightmare. People complain about, I mean, they come to me and complain, and I have nothing I can do about it.
So the state is very clear that the dog has to, or the animal has to provide a service. Companionship is not a service. It has to provide some function. It has to get your newspaper in the morning. It has to get your medicine, or has to, you know, bark when somebody's at the door. It has to provide some service.
That's what all dogs do, okay?
Yeah.
And so any dog can provide.
But it's prescribed. And so unless it has an S on the tag, it's not a service dog.
But landlords all the time, you know, they have a person have a no pet policy, and then the people go in there and they say they're scared. They get a dog and the dog barks, and they say, well, it's a service dog because it barks.
And it has to have a tag. It has to be something that goes through the county, and the county tells the owner whether or not it's a service dog. If it doesn't have a tag with an S on it, it's not a service dog.
I'm simply saying down the road, that's going to be one of our biggest problems, because I get more complaints about that one item than anything else.
The twist on this is that I think just about anybody who says I'm anxious and petting my cat calms me down gets a therapy
is not
dog.
Being
abused all over the nation.
Dog.
But they get
smart.
The state's
very clear on what
they get smart
dog.
To what.
Yeah.
I mean, you take victim services downtown. The people that are, you know, go to victim services, they get coached by volunteers.
Words to use. Yeah.
Exactly what words to use. Yeah. I mean, exactly. You go in front of the judge and you say, I must fear for my life, and I fear for this, and I fear for that. They say these things, and they automatically, by law, get a restraining order. Period. End of story. And they're coached. That same thing happens with service dogs. They're coached. This is what you go tell the county people. When you say that, they cannot deny you a service tag. Okay.
Down the road.
Understand. I'm simply saying that's going to be a problem.
Many people don't get a service dog license, though, and say it's a service dog.
Okay.
And what we tell, we deal with store owners all the time, you know, how do you know it's a service dog? If it doesn't have a tag with an S on it, and City of Eugene marks theirs with an S, City of Springfield marks theirs with an S, okay. If it doesn't have a tag with an S on it, it's not a service animal.
As a City of Eugene temporary or part-time employee ushering at the Holt Center, we've been told that if somebody shows up with a dog and says, this is my service dog, we have no right to ask or question.
I know, that's exactly what they tell.
Well, I mean, that may be an internal policy. That's not true. You have a right to ask. As a property owner, you have a right to ask.
But that's apparently a policy that's pretty widespread.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard that as well.
I don't think businesses really want to
Not today.
Well, when the opera lady is singing a high note, does the dog...
Actually, the law...
I don't know that
it qualifies.
There's only been one instance. There's a lady that brings her little purse dog in to a lot of them, and it hasn't done anything. But by and large, and there's only been like maybe four or five the whole time I've been working there, they are bona fide
service dogs, and they really are.
So the law you may be referring to, Jan,
like
the law is you can't ask the disability that it's addressing, but you can certainly ask.
What's wrong with you? You can't
say
that.
Yeah, you can't say what. Exactly. Exactly. You can't say what the disability is.
And you can't ask what the dog's service is.
You can ask for proof of service dog.
You can ask for the license.
But they have to prove service dog qualification. And a vest that says service dog is not it. It has to have a tag.
I have a friend that bought one of those over the internet so her dog could fly with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bought one.
Bought one.
Moving on. Moving back. What have we heard about the uniform licensing from the City of Eugene and all that?
So Dave unfortunately couldn't be here today. He did have his son was born, so he's taking care of that family issues. So he will be here next month to talk about that. We did meet with the City of Eugene, and basically they're not interested at all. They like the way they're doing it, and they don't want to change. So it was a closed door.
Well, who did he talk to?
We talked to the complete staff, and we just had one animal control officer that wasn't there, but the rest of the animal services staff was there.
How many are there?
There was five of them there.
They have five animal service people now.
Mm-hmm.
But how about Springfield? Are they interested?
No. They have their own program, and they're not interested in...
Do you remember me telling you about fiefdoms?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's very clear. They're not interested in doing a combined licensing.
Well, what do you mean combined? They're sold...
Universal license.
Universal licensing.
One party collects all the money and all the rest?
Yeah.
What about a uniform, as for starters, licensing numbering system? So when dogs go interjurisdictionally... they can be immediately hooked up to a computer database.
So again, I'll have Dave give you a report.
That's a little different. If it's money, they get ugly. But if it's something where, you know, we've had a lot of experience where dogs from Junction City go down, you remember that dog Winston, the famous one? It had an Elmira license or Vinita or something. They moved to Junction City. Guy lost his German Shepherd. It got sent down here to Lane County. Lane County adopted it out. Kid lost his bike, went to the police station in Junction City, and was talking about his bike, and the kid said, well, my bike, you know, I feel bad, but my dog. And he says, what kind of dog? Well, it's a German Shepherd with a blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I think we knew that. And they tracked it all the way down. It was in the paper long ago. And they found the new owner, and the new owner gave it back. But the moral of the story was all these little fiefdoms of licenses prevent those animals from being returned. And so
that sounds like a good plan, though. Start with just transferable number.
Where, just like a driver's license.
Universal numbering system.
Like, if, you know, some states they might have LC for Lane County, 12345, and then DC for Douglas County, whatever. But it's the same numbering system. It's just a little identifier for the jurisdiction. So they can keep their own money for the time being. And once you make that standard for retrieval and identification, then you can talk about something.
It doesn't make it any easier for people to buy it, though.
On the dog,
right.
They would have been able to be traced.
Exactly.
The problem is they didn't have a license on the dog.
Yeah. You know, the license tag is always effective.
Everybody issues a tag with a number,
And if you call Vanita and say, I have a dog here with this number, they're going to say, oh, well, that belongs to so-and-so. Yeah.
And I think that's how they finally found it, but it's, it got lost in the cracks.
Yeah,
that's the thing. The numbering doesn't
mean anything.
Right.
The main thing I see is the roadblock to licensing animals.
Yep.
In empowering more people to dispense licensing. Mm-hmm.
The city of Eugene told veterinarians, we don't want you selling licenses for us.
If you don't live in the city of Eugene, they don't. That's correct. I have a lot of clients come to Eugene, come out to Bonita. They will not let me sell licenses. Absolutely told us no longer are we going to provide.
They don't want veterinarians in Lane County, outside of the city of Eugene,
right,
selling Eugene licenses
right
to Eugene animal
right
companions.
That's correct.
Guardians.
And with our offices in West Eugene,
pets,
so we have a lot of people outside the city limits, and a lot of people inside the city limits. And you know, we're not going to go through and try to verify where they. So we finally just said we're not going to issue licenses anymore because.
But if you know for sure that someone doesn't live, why wouldn't you sell a Lane County license?
It takes staff time,
but
to try to verify where they come from. And all, and it would be so easy if they just say we have a universal license.
Well, no one disagrees with that.
And so it's just.
But if someone obviously lives in the boondocks, wouldn't you sell them a Lane County license?
Well, for 50 cents, no.
No, for $5 or whatever it is.
$3.50, yeah.
How much?
$3.50 now.
But Cottage Grove, for instance, doesn't allow us to sell licenses even though we're in that town.
Really?
Why?
Wow.
Why?
They won't allow it. They want them to come down to City Hall.
Yeah. Wow.
I think
we've asked half a dozen times. Can't we just sell a license?
You have to go to the City Hall in Lowell and buy a license there. Right.
So it might seem
and
easy to work.
Well, same way.
Yeah. It might seem easy to work with these small towns, but it's not. Vanita,
okay,
fortunately, we're pretty lucky. But.
So you can register to vote online.
Sorry.
No matter where you live, correct?
Right.
Can't some.
Yeah.
Then similarly easy be set up for licenses?
Yeah, we'd love to.
That's what we're talking about.
There's such a huge number of unlicensed, you know, animals.
Yeah, we'd like to sell them in 7-Eleven. You know, anybody can
Well,
sell
why
them.
Can't you?
Well, I'm not sure there isn't a reason why we can't, but like Dr. Young is saying is that they have to verify where they live. There's a process, and it's not as easy as just.
There aren't any 7-Elevens in Lane County.
Circle K.
City of Eugene.
Circle K. Dairy Mart. Dairy Mart.
Yeah. Dairy Mart. Now you got
it. But if you set it up like, print your own license tag that'll say Fluffy, that you know, like the PetSmart some places have. If you set up something like that, the person would still have to be able to identify which jurisdiction
yes
they were in.
Yes. At this point.
Yeah.
Listen, it would be simple. It's not about it being difficult. It's about management of many little municipalities. Everybody has a paycheck that's dependent on having something that identifies them as an employee. And this is part of it. I mean, it has to be. Otherwise, why would you want something so incredibly inefficient? It is. I mean, it's phenomenally inefficient.
Well, I don't think this conversation is closed yet. I think the right policymakers haven't really heard this. When you get staff members, you know, particularly Eugene, where they're egotistical and they shoot things down all the time, you have to go around them or over their heads, and you have to do it gradually. You know, like we've wanted an animal advisory committee, and Tamara and I have been working on that with Dr. Wolverton when she was there, and we created this whole beautiful ordinance, you know. Well, you know, the staff doesn't want it. So, you know, those things probably take a long time to happen. But you've got to, we can't expect people to deal with information they don't have. I dare say that no one on the city council is even aware of this obstinacy on the part of city staff.
And possibly county commissioners don't know either. You know, they may have heard it peripherally, but not directly.
So let me inform you on a process that we've just embarked on. Kind of along these lines. It's broader than just licensing, but we've asked to engage the Oregon Solutions team. Are you familiar with that process? It's out of the governor's office, but it's administered by
Oregon State.
Or yeah,
it's Oregon State University.
Oh, it is Oregon State.
I think it's out of Portland.
Okay. And but, so yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So we submitted an application to look at the possibility and to just explore the if there is support out there for specifically, well, in general, support for a common animal service delivery in the county. So from Florence to Oak Ridge and from Junction City to Cottage Grove, is there support out there that can have some kind of more
consolidated
animal service within the county, and more specifically about helping support a new county shelter, public shelter. So that process has begun. Carrie and I spoke with the team. When was that? 2 weeks ago.
They're doing interviews this week.
And they're reaching out. And they're doing interviews. I would.
But Carrie doesn't want a public shelter. You want a private nonprofit one, don't you? I mean, you want one on your campus.
I am part of this team because I want to see collective services also, and also I'm one of the stakeholders in the entire process.
But are you in favor of or not antagonistic to a public shelter centrally located, not outside the city of Eugene?
As long as it is feasible within the system that we have, I would be in support of that. So part of this exploration is to find out what, actually, and this is the way that Oregon Solutions does it, is to figure out who all the stakeholders are, they have a conversation with all of them, and then help design the system.
So if it came...
And so they look to see, is there buy-in, is there money, are there resources available to do these things?
So for example...
So how far along is this process with
just
them?
Just initializing, just at the beginning stages.
Okay.
So let me understand... So, because you said publicly there may not be enough money for two shelters. So if that was the case and they found out it was the case, but that based on the science to date, centrally located facilities are deemed to be ideal, would Green Hill then want to collaborate somehow financially in a joint centrally located facility that would be off the Green Hill campus in terms of any plan you currently have to raise a lot of money for a new shelter?
That's a lot of ifs.
There are a lot of right. ifs.
Could you see yourself supporting a shelter that was a combined public and nonprofit in Eugene as opposed to Green Hill?
So again, the primary ifs, you have some priorities that are different than my priorities in this, in the way you set that scenario up. My priority would be to see animals well cared for and safe in a sustainable manner. So if that priority can be met, I don't care where it happens. I don't care who does it either.
Yeah.
But the priority is that first thing.
Do it. Go ahead. Sorry.
This Oregon Solutions team, who's involved in these talks right now? And this is just for Lane County Animal Control you're talking about right now, right?
No, it's countywide. So all the jurisdictions countywide. We listed numerous stakeholders, including the Animal Services Advisory Committee.
Right.
So you will be brought in as part of that solutions process. Don't know quite what that looks like yet. I'll have more information for you as we get into the process. But you were definitely identified as one of the stakeholders.
How many times have you met so far?
We talked over the phone once at this point.
Right. And have you had a representative from every municipality in the county on the phone?
No, just Carrie and I with the solution. It's just initializing. It's just at the beginning stage.
Okay, I got some information for you. Dune City is concerned about dangerous dogs right now. I don't know whether they have somebody in mind, like somebody's going to be cited, has been cited, or whatever, but they're looking for help to decide what to do with the dangerous dogs. Mm-hmm. At this moment, can I give them a number to call? Could I give them your number? They're looking for help.
Are they incorporated?
Yeah, they are.
Where is Dune City?
And I've offered.
South of Florence on.
I've offered help.
Incorporated city.
What do I do? What do I tell them? Where can they go for help on
the closest help would be City of Florence.
Right. City of Florence doesn't. Do they have any more animal control than
the Florence Humane Society? Yes. Helps them.
Yes.
So should they not be involved in this as well?
What's that?
Should they not be involved in this as well, Oregon Solutions team?
The Oregon Solutions timeline is a couple of years, basically, right? So it's they start out with the interviews, but it's not a short-term thing.
Right.
What do we hope to... Look, we already had a study. Animal Arts already did a study about how many dog kennels and cat kennels, cat facilities needed to be done in 20 years, et cetera. I remember this. You paid for it, actually. And then they worked for you as well. Why do we need to reinvent the wheel and have some bureaucratic people coming by and getting another process going? What tangible things do you hope or do you envision could possibly come out of this?
I think it's a barometer on what kind of support is out there for supporting a common shelter.
It's all about financial help. You know, they're trying to get more people to support this financially, basically, because right now Green Hill and Lane County can't afford to the money.
It sounds like maybe the prior study, I'm not sure, was what should happen.
No, it was,
and this study is what can happen.
No, right. This was the county commissioners thinking very seriously, a different board of commissioners than we have now, thinking about creating a shelter, finding out how to, a funding source, and putting it on Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Right.
And, you know, kind of a lot of us concluded...
That's not been thrown away. They have that report. Oregon Solutions team has that report. And so that's part of, in the mix of all this.
Who pays for this? Do they pay for it?
It's free up at the, for this initial,
study?
What do they call it? Assessment. Yeah. The initial assessment is free.
How can the initial assessment has to be our assessment almost? Mm-hmm. And that is, if we can't get these local groups to get along, even to get a common license, how are they ever going to get along when it comes to contributing money?
We need to have the discussion. We don't know. Yeah. We need to have that discussion, exactly.
I think it's fine. I'm just saying we have to take baby steps before we take giant steps. The way it sits right now, and I think, Scott, I think you're saying this, is that Lane County was a spearhead and they were going to develop this shelter. However, they can't do it alone. That's what they're saying.
So Eugene took their $950,000.
They just took it away.
It was
and
stole.
until we get some sort of cooperation between these various groups, and I think Springfield needs to be involved, and I think they need to finally pay their share. I shouldn't be critical, but at times they've kind of escaped underneath the sounding board and haven't really wanted to pay up.
True.
You know, everybody has to pay their fair share, or it's not going to work.
Speaking of cooperation between the groups, here's Dune City saying they've already reached out to Florence on the dangerous dog issue. They've also reached out to the county and basically been told the county's not interested in helping. So we're blaming Springfield, we're blaming Eugene for not being interested. Our own county's not interested
in helping. You ought to find out who they asked. And also, Dune City government may be dealing with dangerous dogs that live outside of the boundaries of Dune City and therefore live in the unincorporated Lane County.
They're talking about within the city. They're
right,
talking about their own licensing and so forth, but they're also talking and saying they need help with the possibility of a dangerous dog issue. And the county's not interested in helping them.
That doesn't sound like something I would say, so I'm not
it
sure
doesn't
the details.
I would hope not.
I'm not sure the details, David. So
can I have them give you a call?
Sure.
And you can talk to them about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once you find out if some of the dangerous dogs may not reside within Dune City proper, because if they reside in unincorporated Lane County, then it is a Lane County.
They're addressing code, and I think this is just a code issue. It's not I have a dangerous dog issue. I think it's a code issue they're concerned with right now.
Yeah, I don't know
that they're trying to get straightened out. And it's something where they may need help, and they've contacted Florence already.
It could be that we gave them an answer they didn't like, too. So.
Well,
yeah.
And who knows who they talked to. Obviously, they didn't talk to you. I'll give them your number.
Well, Eugene gave us an answer we didn't like.
Right.
Right. But who in Eugene said that?
Well, that's
we
my
don't
point.
Know.
That's my point.
Yeah.
I do know who they are. But
said that.
It doesn't make any difference. Yeah. If you know who they are, it still doesn't make any difference.
But when I found dogs, like on a weekend or something, in the middle of winter, before Christmas, I found this German Shepherd out by 29th Street. And someone spaced out the kids or whatever. The dog got loose, no collar. And I waited. I called up Lane County. I called up Green Hill. I called up the Eugene police. I finally made posters. And the dear dog is a beautiful old German Shepherd. I didn't know what to do. I was praying about it. Took pictures, put him in, what's that, Mini Pet Mart and all that stuff. Finally, someone came to Mini Pet Mart. All right? We Lane County was one of the central places to report. Also, I called El Cara. All right? But there was not, and I called Green Hill for all these lost and found things. But if there was one place where you could say, I found this license in Eugene, or I found this license in Springfield, it's ridiculous.
We all know.
That's absolutely absurd that you cannot go to one place, and it used to be the county licensing, because the county would do the city licensing, so at least if they were licensed, you know?
I'll jump on my hobby horse on this. I think it all should be also cross-referenced to chips.
Yes, absolutely.
Because my dog runs in the yard and doesn't wear a collar. Mm-hmm. My dog is chipped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if we're so fractionated that we make judgments that we can't get along even on licensing, we make their job impossible. We make their job totally impossible. Because they have 18 different groups they have to work with every day to try to figure out who's who. If you have a lost dog, isn't that true? I mean, that's just for Lane County. That's not about United States and dogs for who knows where.
But the people that find a dog, put it in their car, and drive for 2 hours and then call. Which happens.
We've had, and at this country fair, we've had a lot of times people feel sorry for a dog sitting on the porch, and they pick up the dog and they take it over to Ben before they call and say, hey, we rescued this dog in Elmira, and then... Well,
really?
It's a 9-year-old dog. I mean, what do they do? Well, lay around. That's their job.
Did they return it? Did they return the dog?
Well, they finally get it back home because we tell them that they weren't very intelligent about taking a dog with them.
How many young dogs that come through your shelter, your offices, do you try to make sure get microchipped?
We try to get microchipped all of them.
Oh, Scott, you have to understand that. It's in our economic benefit to do everything to every dog and every cat that we see.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
We never suggest not to do something.
And one of the things that we do, we microchip, but we also charge them for, a lot of times the microchip's free, but the registration we charge them for, and we won't do it unless
we don't
pay the registration.
That's correct.
Because there's too many people take the paperwork home, look at it, and it ends up in the trash can, and chip is never registered.
Mm. Yeah. And it isn't changed.
If you don't
changed.
Register the chip, you might as well not have it.
And it is paid for before they leave, or they don't get a chip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we keep the paperwork and we send it in so that we know
they're recorded.
It's recorded.
It sounds silly, but
even
you
though
have
that
to do
is
it.
My hobby horse to ride, that should be. I've been in the situation many times where there's a chip, a registered chip, a readable chip. And that person isn't answering that phone. That phone's been disconnected. Or you talk to that person, they say, oh, I gave it to my neighbor, and I think they sold it.
Yeah.
We worry about having enough money to do spays all the time. Spays and neuters, spays and neuters, spays and neuters. If we took this same money and said, okay, it also can go for a chip, you'd probably save more animals doing that than you would spaying and neutering them.
It's a good idea. Spay, neuter, chip program. Mm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For
that's
low income.
Fantastic.
Spain and I don't care about income.
I know.
Because the dog is always broke.
Yeah.
I've said that over and over again.
Cats too.
Never met a rich dog yet. Huh?
Never met a rich dog yet.
My dog gets whatever he wants, though. No more than
that. All right.
There's a couple of inheritable ones that are for rich.
Lady from New York.
Yeah.
So where are we?
Well, is there anything else?
Today it seems like we kind of picked up all the other stuff that we've been talking about on and on.
Which staff members did you talk to at the City of Eugene? I'd like to know about that.
There, again, I'm thinking off the top of my head.
Oh, it's the guy that replaced him.
There's a, so Angie San Miguel, the new supervisor, I can't remember her name, I'm
Molly
sorry.
Monette.
Molly.
Molly who?
Monette.
I thought there was a guy that replaced him.
She's what supervisor? Is that her total
She's
function?
Animals, yeah.
They have a complete animal supervisor?
Yes. Animal services.
Scott, why don't you work
She'll
on
also
Eugene
be in the field.
City Council? We'll work on the Springfield City Council.
Yeah, we'll see. Who
the,
else?
The animal services officer.
Who's that? Larry?
There's Larry.
Larry's
and
retiring. Ted Carlson.
Ted. It was Ted.
Carlson, yeah.
And who's going to take Larry's place?
It's not been filled yet, as far as we know.
And then who else?
But don't we do better
That's
by talking?
Three or four.
Who's above them?
That's three right there.
It's got to be you.
Angie, Molly, Ted.
Or somebody else, too. I'm sorry. I don't remember.
Were these all employees of the police department?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, do you know which captain or whatever they're under? Because, I mean, that's you need to talk
to
the next
person.
Yeah,
I don't know who their captain is.
Yeah, I'll find out. You have a little insight there.
Do they have any?
They have an IS support person there, so I don't know.
An IS support?
Everybody avoids the dog control.
But you called the meeting to explore the possibility of a universal license?
We called the meeting because it's been 3 years since the transition, and we haven't met, and we wanted to get all the everybody together.
Well, what else did you talk about?
I'm going to leave it to Dave. He'll report on it next month. I can't do it off the top of my head.
Did you talk about dog license sales? And
we'll have a report next month.
You don't remember that?
We'll have a report next month. I don't want to miss date.
He's not persistent right now.
We talked about many things. And we'll report on it next month.
What is that? Ships
Did you
sales?
Learn anything interesting or new?
Other than they were not interested in working together.
Are they happy with Pet Data?
Very happy, yeah. Yeah, they characterize it as they're making more money than they have historically.
Why? Why is that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I would suggest you look at the numbers.
That's what they're saying. I
have
nothing to compare it to, so, yeah.
It would really be good to look at the, you know, last year when the county did it, because the first couple of years they were not making more money.
That's probably true. And so that's probably what they're seeing is since 2012, the trend of the, I don't know.
History is
2013. How much per animal, you know?
Dave has all that information. It's like 20%. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
That's why Mike Wellington turned him down. And that woman, what was that woman's name that did the city thing for a while?
Kelly Darnell.
Yeah. She was kind of boasting, playing to the supervisors that the city would save money if they got rid of the public employees because they wouldn't have to pay all those benefits. I remember she wrote a memo to that effect. And she said it openly. Well, we don't have to pay these things, so we can, you know, have them do it. And somehow they penciled out that they would save like $80,000 a year or $50,000 or something. That's their analysis. But the thing was, when the county did it, those people weren't just working on licenses. You know, they were doing a great job for licenses. They're doing a great job in a whole lot of areas.
Right.
So Molly Monette has taken over Kelly Darnell's position?
No, Angie is still the, I don't know, manager. Molly is the supervisor.
What does that mean? If they only have four staff people, what are they supervising?
Well, they're going to have two animal control officers.
It's like, how many people do they need to change a light bulb? You know,
Molly, I believe, is going to be in the field as well. So she's going to be an animal control officer. So they'll have three.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. And so Angie San Miguel is the program manager.
Correct.
And Molly Monette is the animal services supervisor.
Right.
And she's going to be out on the field with the other guy.
Right.
So where did Molly come from?
Seattle.
Parks.
So she came down from Seattle. Was she in animal control before, field officer?
I don't believe so, but I don't know her full background.
Okay. Well,
we tend to have the Peter principle.
Are we going to have an August meeting, or are we going to adjourn for?
I think we need one.
September, do we?
I'd like to hear what Dave reports.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
We should add
so
it.
August 10th would be the next meeting. Anybody have anything for the agenda other than
I'm going to be gone.
What's usual?
Film it in.
I don't have it for you.
Okay. We can let you always email me and I'll email you a reminder.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
Did you discuss, one last question, did you discuss with the city anything about a new shelter?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this.
The Oregon Solutions thing, but
yeah.
Did you ever talk about whether they think we need a new shelter?
No. I think everybody kind of generally agrees that the current shelter is inadequate.
Belongs in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Chair. So we can let the chairs know what we suggest.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank the chairs for doing such a good job. Thank you. Being so tolerant. Thank you.
August 10th.
Thank you.
Is your next meeting.
Do we need a motion to
adjourn? Move, we adjourn.
Okay.
Dave, you want a second? Yep.
We're adjourned.
Okay.
All right.
Peace and love.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Dwayne, you're still my friend.
Well, part of that all comes from the fact that it's always the Spain Army.
Yeah.
There's like 10 veterans Spain Army programs that are equal to the Eugene Spain Army Clinic. And they never get
mentioned.
They never
get mentioned.
They never what?
They never get mentioned.
Want to take that up for toys?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. You mean like that one, Cascade and stuff?
You're welcome.
Kelly's or yours?
Well, you could go, there's several of them.
Yeah.
And they're priced below Eugene Spay-Neuter Clinic, and they never get mentioned. It's always Eugene Spay-Neuter Clinic and WAGS. WAGS is significantly lower than some.
Well,
but
we heard about spots.
Eugene
heard about
Spay-Neuter Clinic is high priced. They're not low priced.
That's because the city forced them to be self-supportive. Remember when they tried to shut it down for $35,000 shortfall, and the whole community went to the city hall and raised hell?
The fact is that they are a full-fledged competing practice, using our tax dollars to stay in. Okay? And that's not the